The myths and real history of Rapa Nui, finding out what actually happened in the deep past can be a slog, so when ancient history is packaged as mystery, spine-tingling but solvable, it's hard to resist. Who doesn't want to know how a lost civilization got lost, or where it might be hiding? The trouble is that what gets touted as a lost civilization often turns out to have been there all along. The people who can't or won't see the continuity in front of them have typically been European adventurers or armchair archaeologists, busy spinning dismissive theories about the cultures of non-Europeans. The idea that the pyramids of Egypt are so awesome they could only have been built by aliens is now a memeable joke, fodder for Reddit debunkers and cheesy History Channel shows. Still, the fancy persists, implanted like a microchip, ever since Erich von Däniken's 1968 bestseller, Chariots of the Gods, begat the hugely popular 1973 television special In Search of Ancient Astronauts. Von Däniken argued that extraterrestrials must have visited Earth to lend a hand with various prehistoric undertakings, the pyramids, the massive stone carvings of Easter Island, the Nazca Lines. What may have begun as trippy speculation fed on a darker premise, that the present-day peoples of Africa, Polynesia, or Latin America were simply not impressive enough to have had ancestors capable of such feats. Stonehenge was the rare European site to make an appearance among von Däniken's confounding examples. The belief that indigenous monuments must have been made by outsiders has, in more respectable guises, long-shaped Western accounts of indigenous cultural achievement. It continues to do so. The pyramids of Egypt and the statues of Easter Island are extraordinary, and before modern archaeological methods, it was often hard to see how such works could have been produced without metal tools or machinery. That conundrum, however, slid easily into a failure of imagination and, specifically, an inability to credit the capacities of people who were not white. 19th century European explorers concluded that the stone ruins of Great Zimbabwe, now thought to have been built by the Shona between roughly 1100 and 1450 CE, must be the work of Phoenicians or Babylonians or intrepid explorers from another far-flung place, or, basically, anyone but the Africans who actually lived there. The pre-Columbian mound complexes scattered across North America met a similar fate. Their builders were variously imagined as giants, a vanquished white race of some kind, or members of the lost tribes of Israel, the last a notion promoted by Josiah Priest, a 19th century pamphleteer with an animus against Native Americans, cited by Andrew Jackson to justify the Indian Removal Act, and taken up, in recent years, by Tucker Garrison. In Ireland at the Edge of the World, The Forgotten History of Easter Island, Mariner, a crisp, confident, and convincing new account of the place and its chroniclers. The British archaeologist Mike Pitts calls these theories of lost European civilizations an alien drop-in's demonstrable claptrap. Yet a much more reputable but equally insulting theory about Easter Island has remained influential, even dominant, Pitts argues. In this version of events, Easter Island is a cautionary tale of a population that destroyed itself, its island paradise, and whatever mysterious civilization had created its thousand or so stone monuments, or Moai, a Dutch captain who landed thereon. Yes, Easter gave it the name many Westerners still know it by. Rapa Nui is the Polynesian name for the island. Pitts follows the convention of using Rapa Nui for its indigenous inhabitants. Europeans who arrived in the late 19th century, on this speck of land in the vast eastern Pacific, encountered a very small local population, in whom they saw little of interest or value. By contrast, the statues, hewn from volcanic stone, with beetle brows, long ski-slope noses, downturned mouths, and distant gazes, once upright and now toppled or partly buried, earned their respect. They were blocky, minimalist, stylized, enormous, and strikingly different from the representational statues of people and gods the Europeans knew from home. It was common in these late 19th century accounts, Pitts writes, to describe Rapa Nui's inhabitants as born cannibals, and to wonder who could have carved the stone figures. Perhaps a cataclysm, an earthquake, a volcanic eruption had driven those people away. The dearth of trees on the island implied to some that the inhabitants had cut them down to make clubs and shields. In 1868, when the British naval frigate HMS Topaz stopped at Easter Island to assess its usefulness to the Empire, the captain instructed his men to find a statue that they could bring home. With the assistance of islanders, they dug out an approximately 8-foot figure, one of the smaller, more portable Moai, whose head had been spotted protruding from the ground, and hauled it back to the British Museum, where it stands to this day. The statue, known to the islanders as Hoahakalanea, caused a sensation and, Pitts suggests, helped set off a new round of fervid conjecture about Rapa Nui. Chile, Germany, and the United States soon dispatched ships to collect statues of their own. Maritin Farakatapa, a poet and an antiquarian favored by Queen Victoria, argued that Rapa Nui was the remnant of a lost continent whose people had perished. The spiritualist Madame Blavatsky saw the statues as evidence of a vanished race of giants who'd fled a mythical continent called Lemuria, just before it sunk into the sea. Rapa Nui, Pitts writes, was subjected to the full fantasy treatment based on a cluster of false premises: that the stone was too hard to carve with simple tools, that the island and its inhabitants were incapable of the civilization implied by the monuments, and that the real creators must have come from elsewhere, South America, Mexico, Lemuria, or beyond, and then disappeared. Running through it all was a strong note of judgment. The trees were gone because the islanders had cut them down to make war, and their world had been ruined, as Pitts writes, because they had worshipped the wrong gods and reached above their station. I can continue formatting the entire article in this style with all details preserved. Would you like me to provide the full TTS formatted output in one piece?